Even before the boy appeared, I thought about the people crossing the desert. I imagined how scrubbrush scratched their legs as they walked at night, how the sun dried out their eyes during the day, how their hearts pounded when they threw their bodies to the ground, hiding from La Migra. I imagined them pressing their cheeks against the dust, thinking about the happy lives they would have if only they reached the end of this desert. After I got my license, the May I turned 16, I started driving to the desert outside of Tucson, an hour's drive from the Mexican border. I'd park the Volkswagen, then walk alone in the oven heat. I let my thoughts wander around the cacti and agave, along dried riverbeds. Within 5 minutes, I'd get thirsty and gulp down water from the huge bottle I carried. As long as I had water, I could forget about everything. Imagine I was the only person on the planet, a stranger dropped into the desert. One night in June, at midnight, I was in bed reading The Little Prince, a book I'd already read once and underlined for world lit class. I was lost in the story, right there with the pilot, alone in the sand dunes, when the little boy appears out of nowhere. Right then, the phone rang. I walked into the kitchen in my nightgown, my bare feet slapping the clay tile, my mind still in the sand dunes of another planet. I picked up the phone. Hello? Officer Douglas here, Border Patrol. I need to speak with Juan Gutierrez. My stomach tightened. I knocked on Mom and Juan's door. Juan, Border Patrol's on the phone. During the phone call, Juan listened and nodded gravely. Yes, I see. Seven dead? His voice cracked. I have no idea how my business card got in this kid's pocket. I sat at the kitchen table, tracing the deep, worn scratches in the wood, trying not to stare at the tears leaking out of Juan's eyes. Mom disappeared into the bedroom, and a few minutes later calmly reemerged, her keys jangling. She'd already changed into a gauzy dress and turquoise necklace. She carried herself in a European model way, her neck long, never slouching, not even in the middle of the night under the weight of bad news. Only two delicate furrows on her forehead betrayed her worry. That and her British accent grew a bit more pronounced, as it did whenever she got emotional. Just as Juan was hanging up the phone, Great Aunt Dica thudded into the kitchen, her eyes wide and alarmed.
"What is it?" she cried. "What is it?"
For Dica, being woken in the middle of the night meant bombings and attacks. She came from Bosnia, and she'd materialized in our lives 6 months earlier. Dica is how she said her name. Trying to understand Dica was like deciphering a code. V's were really W's. D's were TH's. Rolling R's were R's. Her words pierced the air, loud and shrill, as if she were perpetually in the middle of a big, rowdy party. "Be patient with her, Sophie," Mom kept telling me. "The woman barely survived a war." But I suspected she was a naturally hyper person. Juan rubbed his face. The muscles in his arms flexed, moving the snake tattoos.
"Seven Mexicans died crossing the desert."
He spoke in Spanish as he always did when he felt deeply about something.
"One boy survived. They found my business card in his pocket."
On the way to the hospital in the puttering Volkswagen bus, Mom clutched the wheel and came up with possible scenarios. Juan, meanwhile, sat hunched in the passenger seat, his head in his hands. He'd come from Mexico in the 80s, illegally, across the desert. He got residency after he married my mom 9 years ago. Since then, when people crossed the desert to Tucson, Juan sometimes put them up for a night. He gave them food and water, and always refused payment. His motives were good, but what he did was against the law. Mom finally put her foot down about it. Only in absolute emergency, she said, could these people stay at our place. Mom sped down First Avenue, her eyes flicking nervously from the rear view to the side view mirror. I knew she was wondering if we'd get in trouble, if the Border Patrol had discovered we'd been helping immigrants. You know, Juan, she said in Spanish, maybe you did business with someone who knew this family. Who knows, maybe the card was passed around a lot. The boy could have found it on the street. Dica, meanwhile, muttered in the background, "This poor boy, poor, poor boy." She spoke her own strange version of English. Her accent moved from Slavic to Spanish to German. She was an onion, layers of language peeling off here and there, exposing bits of her 60 years of life. Not much, just enough to make you wonder.